This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
This is Brightside Home Theater.
Hey, home theater nerds. Welcome to the Brightside Home Theater Podcast, the podcast that focuses on the experiences we have in our theaters. My name's DJ. You can reach me on Twitter at BrightsideHT, or you can email me at BrightsideHomeTheater@gmail.com. And of course, you can always reach me or any of us directly by leaving comments at the website, BrightsideHomeTheater.com. There are spots for comments under all of the episodes and under all the individual theaters. As I say every week, I really appreciate it if people reach out, go and check out those theaters and leave a comment or two, or like I say every week, an idea maybe you're taking from it or an idea you have for them for their theater. It's a lot of fun to have this back and forth, and these guys put a lot into these theaters, a lot of blood, sweat, and tears. It's a lot of fun, but it's a lot of work, and they love to get the comments, so I really appreciate it. And speaking of comments, I'd like to make a comment. It's been a little while since I've said this, but first and foremost this week, I'd like to thank you guys. Thank the listeners. I'd like to talk to you guys directly for a second. A buddy of mine who is a podcaster helped me get started with this home theater podcast. And when we were sitting around brainstorming, we went out to lunch and we're talking about it. And this was before COVID. He said, you know what? I don't think that you have enough content for this kind of a podcast. And I explained to him about the movies and stuff and the scenes that we like to talk about that I've always liked to talk about. But he just couldn't wrap his head around it. And there was what I'd like to say this week is, It's come to, like, I've realized I couldn't wrap my head around it because of you guys, the listeners. It's this absolute pure adrenaline that you guys inject into this podcast every week. It gets me excited to come here and sit down by myself and talk to you guys. It's one thing to talk about these movies, but even my wife this week, and that's what got me to say something this week about this, is my wife was like, you're actually talking more about movies and about these things to her. And I kind of apologize. And she's like, no, it's great. She goes, but it feels like you've had this all inside you all of these years. And I've always talked about this stuff, but now it's like I have an outlet. So now it just pours out whenever. And it's because of you guys. Because you guys have enabled me to have this outlet. You've supported me. I get these comments. It's every day. My phone, I get something. It's an email, a text, a tweet, something, a DM. And it just keeps that conversation going. And it's just really been amazing. And it's all because of you guys. It's like I said, I could just sit down here and talk by myself. But it's that interaction with you guys, and I know there's a lot of you out there that there is no interaction, and you just enjoy hearing it, and that's great too. And it always amazes me when I get that. You know, it feels like I'm a new listener, but their first comment is been listening to you for months or listened to you for a while, and that's funny. But I know there's a lot of podcasts that the podcasters have no idea who I am. So I get that. So I just wanted to say thank you to you guys. It's not a difficult thing to do, but I rely heavily on motivation. I rely heavily on the passion. And there are times where it's like, oh, I got to go sit down and do this. And it's not that I don't want to. It's more to the point of I feel like I have to give something to you guys. I can't just sit down here and go, okay, so at 2 minutes and 22 seconds, this happened. I need to come with energy. And sometimes it's just like, I got to get it. And you guys make me get that. And you make me motivated. And it's, And like I said, my wife has noticed. She's like, you're talking, you're even more excited about this hobby than you have ever been. And I've been doing this, like I said, since the 80s. And I don't know. It's so other people are noticing that what you guys are doing to me. So I really appreciate it. Thank you very much. That'll do it for this. I'm sure I'll be bringing it up again soon anyways, because I always like to thank you guys. I really appreciate everything you guys have done. I had planned on talking about display calibrations this week and how important they are or not important. I am going to table that for next week, because next week, in the meantime, I have scheduled Ara Dedarian to show up from HT Guys podcast. So he's going to come in, and they talked about it last week. I had a conversation on Twitter this week. I believe Steve George jumped in and we were talking about how important calibrations are. And there was a conversation about HDR and how good that can be, or how bad HDR and this and that. So there's a lot of stuff that goes into it. And I figured, instead of just me commenting on it, it'd be a great topic for R and I to talk about next week, because the HT guys did comment on it last week, and I wanted to throw in my two cents. So we'll table that for next week. Anybody has any questions for Ara and myself, send them in. And we will be talking. We are scheduled to record a podcast on Tuesday, which is typically when I record. So anything by Tuesday, questions about calibrations, about anything. Anything. Ira's going to be sitting in for the podcast, so send them on in. Let's see what else we got. Avatar in 4K in 2022. That was announced this week. Brightside Home Theater strikes again. Jeff from HD Report sat in last week, and he actually requested it would be fun to get Avatar in 4K. And here we go. We got it. So let's go. I'm still pushing for True Lies and The Abyss. Actually, I would like The Abyss first. I think that to me is the better movie. True Lies is just a pure popcorn fun movie. I'd like to get that on Blu-ray, just anything. I don't think we have that. So, but The Abyss, I think in 4K would be a blast. That I would like to see that. But anybody, let's get those requests going, because apparently, I've got a little bit of pull here, apparently. New Twitter followers this week. We have SA001. I don't know what that means, but I just read them. Rick Foster, Quentin McKenna, and Rolling Stoned 171. Very interesting. There are another 170 Rolling Stones out there. I wonder how many more there are after 171. So thought that was pretty funny. So everybody, welcome to the home theater community, the Brightside home theater community. Take a look around. Have some fun. Make yourselves at home. Movies and scenes of the week. We have The Gray from Preston. He sent in an email that I'll get to in a second, but he says, quote, the Blu-ray has an excellent 5.1 DTS HD master audio track that puts you on the edge of your seat and plays well with Neural X. For picture quality, don't go into this movie with high expectations, but I think you'll be blown away by the sound design. Watch all the way to the last credits, end quote. So I'll check that out. I think I'm going to make some time and check that one out. And that's all we have for movies and scenes this week. So send those in. Twitter and email comments. Carl emailed about a Steven Spielberg article that's in, I believe, Empire magazine. And I read the link that he sent. That'll be in the show notes. I'm also putting a link in the show notes to an Empire magazine link. I don't think you can get it, but the actual article, but this is more on that. But it was really good. It's basically, I've seen it elsewhere on Twitter too. It's kind of making its rounds right now, and it's another one of those stories that theaters aren't going anywhere, because when this pandemic is over, people are going to rush back to the theaters. And that's kind of what Spielberg says. It's like, there's an environment there that you can't get even with our theaters. There's something to be said for watching a movie with a bunch of strangers and having that common bond with those people and getting up And I think in Spielberg's write-up, he says something like, even when you're walking out, it's like you feel closer to those people, those strangers. Like, yeah, that was a good one. Or whatever it is, you know. And I know what that's like. I've done many a midnight showings over the years. And it's very disappointing to me and my kids that they did away with the midnight showings and they moved it to 8 o'clock, because that was like a badge of honor. I went to see such and such at midnight. It played at midnight. You got out at 2:30 in the morning. I took my kids as young as 8, 9 years old to a midnight showing, and their thing was, you can go, but you have to go to school the next day, because midnight showings were on Thursday night. And they were never more excited to get up the next morning and go to school, because they got to tell their friends that they got to see whatever had played the night before. My daughter, one of her favorite memories is going to school and saying, I saw Twilight last night, and her friend's like, it's not even out yet. Yeah, well, I saw it at midnight. And it was fun. That's a badge of courage. Now anybody can do it. So it's not just the diehards that are showing up at 8 o'clock at night to see a movie. That's normal. There is that environment that people like that. People like to go to the movies and dress up for these premieres and all this. And we will, when this pandemic is over and everybody is comfortable, people will rush back to these theaters. I have no doubt about that either. And apparently neither does Steven Spielberg. Okay, Graham Cole on Twitter sent a report from comicbook.com that we will be getting Spaceballs in 4K on April 13th, and pre-orders are being taken now. That was pretty cool. We'll be hearing more from Graham Cole in a minute. Francis Amoko tweeted, after last week's podcast, Brightside HT, I'm listening to your latest podcast and I nearly choked when you said U-571 might be the best submarine movie for atmosphere and sense of you being there. Have you watched Das Boot? I bet you have. If not, seek it out. I don't know whether there is a 4K version. And I replied, you are correct. I stand corrected. Das Boot is better. It is probably the best. But I will defend myself this way. I said U-57 might be the best submarine movie. They're all subjective, so it's up to debate. But I do agree with you, Das Boot. I haven't had a chance. I wanted to get to watch this before I recorded this so I could comment on it with a fresh viewing, but I wasn't able to get to it because my son hasn't seen the movie yet and he loves these movies. We're kind of holding off to be able to watch that one together. So, but yes, that does have tremendous sound and atmosphere of being in the sub. That movie, it is really, really good. Excellent. Great point. Thank you for calling me out on that. Preston's email that he sent regarding Godzilla. Hi, DJ. I enjoyed your breakdown of Godzilla 2014 on regular Blu-ray, but I was surprised that you didn't go for the 3D on this one, as I've found the 3D picture quality to be one of the most realistic and engaging 3D Blu-rays in my collection. Perhaps you can do a 3D versus 4K UHD Smackdown soon, because the 4K disc will be released March 23rd. I replied to Preston and said, I will try to do that, because I am already, I told you guys that I am going to be doing my creature double feature. I am going to be redoing Godzilla 2014 in 4K. So now let's throw the 3D version in there. We'll get that done and we'll do King of the Monsters creature double feature the week before Godzilla versus Kong comes out. So I'm really looking forward to all that. And I really do want to do this 3D version, because you're the first one that told me the 3D version is really good. Because I've actually heard from a few other listeners, not just one. I've heard from a few other listeners that the 3D version was, it's no big deal. And they were really looking forward to the 4K. So I'll be interested to see for myself. I haven't watched it in 3D yet. So I'll be interested to see for myself how that plays out and how it will compare to the 4K, which most likely is going to have the Dolby Atmos. So that should be a fun experiment and make that creature double feature week a lot of fun. Gurinder sent me an email. He had a blast a couple of weekends ago. I won't read the entire email. He described the entire weekend. He binged a bunch of different movies. It basically went on a movie marathon weekend. And he said Friday he had watched three movies, which is usually more than he'd see in a month. Or no, I'm sorry. On Saturday, Friday night with the family, Saturday ended up watching three movies. So that was four. And then Sunday he watched some other things, but here's a list of them. He watched some stuff playing on Amazon, Blade Runner 2049 on Blu-ray, Greatest Showman. He watched, Fantastic Beasts, The Crimes of Grindelwald on Blu-ray at night on one night. Let's see what he had. X-Men's Origins Wolverine he watched on Blu-ray. He just kept going, and it's like he watched them. It sounds like his whole family watched them together. Then he watched some with like a daughter, watched a couple with just his wife, and just that's what these theaters are for. It's just keep people coming in, shuffle them in, get those theater ropes up. And it isn't that fun when you step outside your own movie theater and there's a line waiting for the next showing. Sounds like the situation Gurinder had going on there. WV Brew tweeted another Quello concert. At Brightside HT, by far the funnest concert ever. So funny, but great duets all night long on Quello. And that concert is John Farnham and Olivia Newton-John. Highlights from Two Strong Hearts Live. That's going to be another date night. That was another one I wanted to get done before I recorded, but scheduling and my wife's had a bunch of things going on, so we haven't been able to get down and have a date night in the theater. So we're holding off on that one, but at first when I read that tweet, I thought it said the funniest. I misread it, and I was like, how are these guys funny? But it says funnest. But it sounds like a really fun date night for us, so looking forward to that. Thank you. I had a featured theater for this week. Craig Collin has sent in a beautiful theater, and I already emailed Craig. I told him that I was going to be featuring it this week, and I emailed him, said, do you mind if I push it to next week because Ara and I can sit in on it? And that's always a lot of fun when it's two people going back and forth. And I'm hoping to be getting more guests. I'm trying to work in more of that. So if you send me a theater, I may wait until I have a guest to talk to about it. If I know I don't have a guest for a while, I'll probably just do it. But Ara popped up and I was like, all right, perfect. I will do that featured theater next week. We will be featuring Craig Collins Theater next week. And that gets us to this week's featured movie, District 9 in 4K. Already recorded that. Peek behind the curtain. Sometimes I record those a little bit early just so that I can get them out of the way. And I come right out of the theater and I'll sit down and record it. I was so excited about this movie, and I was so excited about a particular scene. If you haven't seen it on YouTube or on Twitter, I put out a contest. And I swear nobody would get this. I thought this would be a great way to promote my podcast, promote my YouTube page. I thought it would get, you know, people would have lots of chances to view the YouTube video and listen to me talk about this particular scene, give some hints. And it would go on until Friday, and nobody would have gotten it because it's pretty obscure. And son of a, Graham Cole got it. It's like, not only did he get it, he got it in like 2 hours of me putting this out. I was blown away. Very, very impressed. He answered me on Twitter and he says, so his first guess was wrong. I can't remember what that was. I didn't save it in the notes. His first guess was wrong. And I said, nope, it's, but keep trying. And Steve George even chimed in. He's like, oh, I'm a little busy right now. And I tweeted back. I go, take your time. I don't think anybody's going to get this. Like an hour later, it's like Graham Cole comes back with, quote, so at 12:20, he says, there is the signal, followed by a heavy thud, ear pop, followed by 3 to 4 rumbles, like it were bombs dropping on land from long distance away, end quote. He is dead on with the time and the sound, but he's off by what it is. And I had to give it to him because he's dead on the sound. Stupidly, when you hear me later on when I'm talking about the scene, it comes up pretty quick. It's early in the movie. I give two timestamps. One is the title. It's at 12:15. I call it Engine Off. I gave it 3 boxes of popcorn. You can see it in the show notes. The actual time of the sound that Graham is talking about here is at 12:23. And him saying by 3 to 4, followed by 3 to 4 rumbles, is exactly how I describe this to my son, my wife, or anybody else I would talk about this to in person. And that 3 to 4 rumbles is the engine shutting off. It's the when you power down an engine, and you'll hear my description in a few minutes when I get to this scene. If you, and even Graham said when I had to DM him to get his address and stuff to send him his, he won a sweatshirt, a Brightside Home Theater sweatshirt and t-shirt. So I had to be able to send it to him, and we were discussing it, and he's just hearing this for the first time, what it actually is. I still haven't told him. But when you hear my description of it, that's why I like the scene. But there's way more to the description, but it is actually the engine to the personnel carrier shutting off is what that 3 to 4 rumbles is. But Graham had told me he was listening to it at minus 60 dB. Now I listen at the minus 85, which is reference level. So that's 25 dB difference. And I'm wondering if that's why, like, he got the engine turning on. But in my description, you'll hear me say that what's really impressive about it is there's a nice bass rumble leading up to that 3 to 4 rumbles. And I think at maybe at the 60 dB, you don't get that early bass. There's not enough. You've turned the volume down so that bass floor is now lowered to almost nil. And then there is enough for you to get the 3 to 4 rumbles. So I'd be very interested for you, Graham, to turn it up till as close as you can without upsetting the household. Turn it up to like 85 dB, minus 85 dB. And then you'll understand in my description what I'm talking about, where it's when that engine shuts off and you get that silence. And again, you'll hear that in my description. So. But the movie itself, I loved. We'll get to that. Let's get to that. As a matter of fact, it's already recorded. It's already done. Thank you guys very much. Let's play the trailer and you can hear all about District 9. Thanks, everybody.
Nobody comes back late at night anymore. They have more security.
The government noticed that they were moving into new areas. That's when things started to get out of hand.
They don't belong here.
They're spending so much money to keep them here when they could be spending it on other things. At least they're keeping them separate from us.
A lot of bad things started to happen.
They must just go. I don't know where they go. They must just go.
We're at the breaking point. People are living in fear.
Why don't you just leave? How do your weapons work?
I just want everyone watching this right now to learn from what has happened.
All right, let's get right to it. I am super excited about this movie. The movie has so much heart and so much depth to the story. This is a podcast about the home theater experience, but I just loved the story. I loved the way it felt to me. It felt like we're going to talk about the picture first, and there are so many versions of the picture. So we go through documentary style, news style, and then we get the real, like, 4K footage of what is real life. And I thought that style of shooting all of those different scenes to me was very analogous to the movie itself, where don't take anything on face value. It's what with what seems like the good guy maybe is the bad guy, or vice versa. And when you look at those, the footage that they're showing, it just, hey, don't write off this footage here. This can play a part of the story, this style. And that's what I loved about this picture. The 4K to me really showed off and enhanced the differences between the different footages, that all the footage that they showed. I thought the 4K picture was very crisp and full of detail, whether the detail was the like holographic displays when you're inside a ship or something, or any of the stuff. There was just tons of detail. But the grainy news footage where you could see the lines of resolution, so you knew you were flipping from one medium to another. And I thought it was just shown off so well with great contrast. And that's the message, I guess, of this movie, is the contrast of what we believe, like these aliens would be evil or whatever. And maybe they're not. And I felt like, well, you know, we're not in spoilers yet, so I'm not going to get into that. Well, the popcorn isn't popping, and I almost ruined the movie if you haven't seen it yet. The sound, the Dolby Atmos track on this, one of the best for bass. It doesn't have that like, really rip your room apart type vibrations that, like, Lucy has. But what this does have is a crispness to the bass that is just almost like unheralded. I don't know of another movie that is this crisp. The drums in the soundtrack throughout this movie, my God, the drums, they are just so crisp. Everything was just so detailed. Like when that bass ends in that drum beat, it just ends. The gunfire, everything is very crisp, you know, very like when the shot is taken, it's so good throughout this movie. It's like, I wanted to say, like, you could timestamp this movie from beginning to end. Just watch it beginning to end, and that's it. Thank you. Good night. That's the podcast. It's that good. The soundtrack is so good, but that's not very good for me. That's a short podcast. I want to get to this. I need to get to this movie. Let's get that popcorn going. And because actually that's the other thing, this movie here, now the popcorn's going, we've got to get to it right away, because this movie actually is the first Bright Side movie that has a giveaway attached to it. I don't know if anybody's won yet at the time of this recording. I just put that out, so we'll see. But here we go. The opening, the QED International logo was cool. Nice bass, deep bass note, and a 3D look of all those numbers coming at you. That was pretty cool. Back to the movie. All right. We start off right away with almost all the different camera styles and sounds. Found it interesting that even during the documentary style portion, there is really a nice sound, including the score, spread out around the room, with the dialogue firmly anchored at the front center, but tons of nice sounds happening all around you. Like at 2 minutes and 8 seconds, we have First Contact, a really cool deep metallic bang as we see the humans exploring. But there's also a repetitive low bass note gently vibrating under you. Then at 2 minutes and 27 seconds, we get that alien crawling. And it's seemingly a louder metallic bang followed by a cavernous, very cavernous environment as we see the aliens trying to crawl away. The sound was really spacious and felt like a great use of overheads, too, to help create that deeper bass, that deeper sense of bass throughout your room. That opening there where you're going through the different mediums of video, but while you are still anchored at the front, the sounds never disperse from the rear channels. Like it's almost like you're watching a TV. You think everything would be there, but it's like you're still in the action, which I thought was a really cool way to keep you, you know, in the environment, but that it was so discreet up front too. The dialogue, it was so good, so locked to the front. It was really, really well done. Let's see. At 8 minutes and 33 seconds, moving out, So Wykus, I guess his name is Wykus. I had to IMDb it to find out what his, the main character, what his name was. So it looks like he's in the motor pool here and they're packing up and getting ready to move out. But instead of being locked on the dialogue, which is really clear, like I just mentioned, listen to all the clicks and sliding sounds and of loading and moving weapons all around the room. Everything you hear there is off camera, but it felt like it was happening right next to me, like right in, like right to my right. I could hear somebody like cocking a gun or something or loading it. There was just a lot of clicking, a lot of great environmental sounds that if you stop for a second and listen, no, don't focus on the dialogue and listen around the room instead, you'll hear all these sounds and it's really, really cool. At the 10 minute mark, transition, I called this a really fun transition that I think the sound engineer had a blast with. We start out seeing Wykus get up and try to take his mic off. He has that one of those clip on mics, right? So they're doing the documentary and now he's like, I'm done. I'm out of here. So he's trying to take that off. And if you've ever worn one of those and you try to move it on your shirt, like you see in the movies or whatever, you get this noise. Like when I brush the mic. But it's really deep and it came through the room really deep, really nice and accurate. But then they blended that and mixed it with the troops mobilizing and that was some nice deep bass. So you went right from one scene to the next and it was just a really nice blend. I loved that transition. Really, really well done. And it amped up the tension because you just thought you were listening to just his mic moving, but then all of a sudden it just escalated from there, which really set that tension. You're like, oh, okay. All right. Here we go. At 12 minutes, 15 seconds. This is what you've been waiting for. If you follow me on Twitter and you see my YouTube video, engine off. I gave it 3 boxes of popcorn. Maybe I should up that to 4 because it's on a 3-box scale and there's only a few things I give to 4. So maybe this is going to be one of them. This is my absolute favorite scene. Could be my favorite of the year. I know it's only February, but I will be comparing anything I think is going to be my favorite. It's going to be this one here. Like I said, called Engines Off. Engine Off. This will be a tough one to beat. I set the stamp at 12:15 so you could get the feel of the scene. We're in the back of a personnel vehicle and you can feel the nice deep bass rumble under you. It's gentle, but it's there. Then at 12 minutes and 23 seconds, the engine shuts off and just like an engine shutting off, the sound gets slightly more intense before it sputters to a stop. I even hesitate to call it a sound. It's not. It's more of a feel. You feel the engine running under you as you're in the back of the truck. And it's only when the engine stops that you realize that the bass you were feeling was from the engine. It's just an unreal attention to detail that I played this for my son multiple times. And then when we were done, we sat in different seats in the room. It's a good way to tell if my subs are working well and, you know, if I'm getting equal dispersion around the room. And same effect. Dead center where I sit was slightly more. If you didn't know, he couldn't tell the difference. I could. But all of the seats felt great. He loved it so much that when he was done, he made the joke, I'm going to go out to my truck and start it, feel it, and then shut it off and feel it and see how accurate it was. And then I played it for my wife, and she was like, one of the few times she actually had a cool, like a look on her face, like that was really cool. And she's like, it's like you have those things in your seat, you know, the transducers, which I don't. But this scene here, just that attention, you're going to have to play it a few times. So like you play it out. And like I said, at the 12:23 mark is when the engine goes off and you're going to get that extra little rumble that's going to come up. And then it goes silent right after that. And that's when you notice, if you back it up like 10 seconds, you'll notice that that rumble was there the whole time until they shut the engine off. It is such a great scene. And it's, like I said, in the video, I was like, this is all about sub placement, multiple subs. Can you pressurize your room? Because you need to get the full effect of this scene. You need to be able to do that. I'm wondering what it sounds like for somebody that just has, like, you know, a single sub and gets nice sound out of it, but you don't really get that visceral feel. I'm sure the sound is there, maybe, and you'll probably notice exactly what I'm talking about. But I say that this is more of a feel, because that's what was evident to me. The first time I saw it, I didn't pause the movie, I didn't back it up, but I looked at my son, I go, did you feel that? Because that was incredible. And that's why I made a note of it. And then when I went back and I was making my notes, I can't tell you how many times I've listened to and felt this scene over and over. It's at, I'm going to mark it at the 12:15, because that's what's going to be in the show notes. But it's when the engine comes off at the 12:23 mark is when you really get the feel and the difference. I'm not sure if anybody is going to get that. I doubt it, because I stated in my YouTube video that this is my favorite scene. And if you've listened to this podcast, you know how much I love pans. You know how much I love all these different things. But this thing is so subtle, and you need to have everything just right to feel it and to know that that's why that, to me, that is a great scene that a sound engineer was like, you know what? We're going to put this sound in there so that the listener and the watcher of this movie is going to feel like they're in the back of this truck. And that, to me, that it just awesome, because the small percentage of people that they're doing that for, it's just, I love it. And I appreciate every, that's what this podcast is about. I just want to point out all the work that people are doing to make our experiences so much better. And as I've said earlier, I mean, all of the things, oh, 4Ks don't sell that much, but it's the best medium right now that we have, but it's all for us. That's what this stuff is for. And I really, really appreciate it. All right, moving on. At 18 minutes and 25 seconds, a big mess. So a little boy is described, a little alien boy. Oh, no, it's not an alien boy. I'm sorry. It's just a little boy. A little boy is describing the different guns that the aliens have, and he says the small gun makes a big mess. And the scene transitions right to a prawn firing a weapon that sounds like a grenade launcher. So you get that, but then the explosion in the building, it's like one of the little huts, I believe, he blows up. It has a small black mushroom cloud that, you know, not a huge, like a nuclear explosion, but a, you know, nice boom with a black mushroom cloud that looks fantastic with the HDR, not just because of the different shades of black smoke, but also the lightning sparks and the color that you see inside of it. It's like there's lightning and there's some reds in there, maybe some yellows. I can't remember that well off the top of my head, but all of that going up. And speaking of going up, the sound goes up too, because the big bassy explosion starts at the front of your room, but it quickly envelops you as it rises up in front of you and even goes over your head. It's a very quick scene, as you can imagine. An explosion only takes like a second. But the way it fills in around you and then you can hear it go over you is really, really nice. At 19 minutes and 42 seconds, trash. Just a simple scene here. The prawns are picking through the trash and one of the little ones throws something to the left and we get to hear it land and bounce off screen, as well as hearing the helicopters fly over your head. We're going to have another one of those scenes where helicopters overhead. Really, really good use of Atmos in this movie. I thought that they really engaged those overhead speakers. I usually hesitate to use the term Atmos, because Atmos is more than just your overhead speakers, but it's kind of like that's what everybody, you know, attributes to Atmos, is like, oh, it's just the overheads, but it's really not. It's the entire environment. Okay. 21 minutes and 23 seconds. They're coming. The prawns are in their quote lab, and you can hear Wykus outside on the right rear. And this effect plays out for a little while and it's really, really cool. But not only does the voice sound further away like it would, but it also sounds like he's on the other side of the wall. Like, so obviously, regardless of what room you're in, what kind of theater you have, you're going to have walls. And it sounds like he's on the other side of it. So they did a really good job of designing that sound so that, you know, it didn't just sound like he was further away in a field. It sounded like he was on the other side of a wall. Really, really nice. At 23 minutes and 19 seconds, I don't trust it. This is the scene where Wykus gets sprayed by that canister. Right after the canister goes off, we hear more of that bassy sound, like his mic is being brushed up against as he's panicking. So you know he has a mic on because they're filming him. And he starts panicking and hitting his chest. So you get that nice bassy sound that we heard earlier. Plus, we get the voice of the camera operator coming from behind us. And that's why I've noted this scene, really, is because it's the difference between the two. Like, his voice was clear, then you get him hitting the mic, and then you get that voice behind the camera, which, and it's very accurate to what a voice would sound like when it's, you know, away from a microphone. At 31 minutes and 5 seconds, Black Stuff, with one box of popcorn, this scene here, quote, "Boss, boss, that's black stuff coming out of your nose there," end quote. And the boom we get to go audibly loud, to get audibly loud bass, as well as real deep visceral rumble accompanied by a very, very high pitched tone. Just a real sense of panic here as you just, the whole room just goes, you get that bass, that rumble, and that really high pitch up, like he's panicking. It's really, really cool. At 37 minutes and 20 seconds, evacuate Ward 11. So Wykus starts the change and needs to be restrained and bagged, by the way. The score and the bass drums are awesome. The ambient sounds of the hospital, like people around in the hospital, you can still hear that. And you can hear the movement of the troops as they start to, you know, make their way to that area. It's just filling the room, all of that, which that's one of the little things that I really like too, is you could still hear like normal people waiting. You could hear little noises that you would hear in any normal waiting room, plus the excitement of what's going on. And then everything was really clear too. The sound of the struggle as Wykus like is struggling to get out of there. They're holding him down. They're restraining him. And then how clear is that zipper when they zip him up in that bag, body bag, but he's not dead. But their zip, it was just so, so clear on the front, at the front of your room. It was so nice. But the bass drums and the score are what steal this scene for me, really setting the tension and actually making me lean towards the screen, because it was just, it's just so much fun when sound can do that to you. It just makes you want to lean in and absorb more. At 38 minutes and 40 seconds, we get MNU, and it gets a box of popcorn. MNU is what's on the bag that's holding the canister, that poisoned Wykus, I keep forgetting his name. But good God, the bass here, as you can hear Wykus is breathing through the respirator, and the super deep bass punches we get as he sees what they're holding up, it shook my room, and I felt these in my chest. It was awesome. And like I said earlier, when I was talking about the sound before spoilers, this isn't the type of stuff like in Lucy where your walls are going to fall down, but it shakes your room. But along with those shakes, I got punches. I felt like it was an extra bass punch, a different kind of bass punch that just, you feel it in your chest as opposed to just that vibration. Just really nice when they mix it up like that. That's why I gave it a box of popcorn. At 54 minutes and 24 seconds, helicopter overhead, two boxes of popcorn here, because this is where I'm talking about the great use of, quote, Atmos speakers. Multiple helicopters flying over you, and they move around you too, around over your head as well. We're always looking for good overhead speaker scenes, and this one is really good. It's, you can hear them moving by you and around you, and that's, I mean, it is coming through your side speakers too, because that's how you get a good pan. They'll use all the speakers available to them, but it is your overhead speakers. I got up and listened and went back and forth. Very loud coming through those speakers. Really, really great use. So if you're looking for a good, quote, Atmos speaker scene, this is one of them at 54 minutes and 24 seconds. At 1 hour, 9 minutes and 10 seconds, building goes boom, two boxes of popcorn. Again, start at the 109 mark and you'll get a good sense of the dynamics of this scene. It starts with a relatively quiet scene with a nice score and a couple of guys talking. So they're making their way to the I believe they're making their way out of the building. And then we get a sudden explosion with such detail and crispness that it's rare in movie explosions. Like I said before, before spoilers, I was like, I don't know if I've heard a movie that was this crisp and this detailed in its sound. You can hear stuff breaking all around you with this explosion as well. The HDR really plays a great part here too. Again, as you get the fantastic grays as well as more of that color and lightning that we see in these explosions. Just another great base scene though. Check it out. It's like, I keep describing it, but please go to 109 and 10 and check this out. At 112:37, shootout. Great shootout scene in the lat. I think it's a lab. That's what I have in my head. I'm picturing it sounded like a kitchen area, like very metallic scene, like I talked about in Jurassic Park in 4K. And that kitchen scene where they're banging on the metal, there's a lot of that going on here, but it's a gunfight. It's a great shootout, really crisp bass with that metallic sound to the whole scene. There's bodies exploding, like, so when they shoot, when the aliens, or you shoot that alien gun at a person, that lightning and whatever comes out, and the body just explodes. Well, some of these scenes, you're so close to the body when it explodes, you get the boom in front of you, but then all around you splatters. Pay attention to that. It's really cool. It's like, the only thing that doesn't happen is you don't get sprayed in the face with some water or something to really, really immerse you in this scene. But you get that boom localized appropriately in front of you, and then that the spray goes all around you. Really, really cool. At 1 hour, 18 minutes and 49 seconds, liftoff. So Wykus starts to lift off in the little ship that was under the ground, and the sound here is a bit reserved, but appropriately so, because the camera goes right to that documentary style shot of the news witnessing the liftoff, so it's almost like you're looking through the news crew that's in a helicopter. But we still get a couple of nice pans of the missiles. So the first missile flies by, it goes completely across your screen from left to right because it misses its target. The second missile hits the target in the middle of the screen, so you get that pan where it's coming in from the left, and then, you know, it you hear the sound of it hitting it right in the middle. So your view is through the lens of the news camera, but it's almost like you're in the helicopter viewing it as the cameraman, because you could still hear the ambient sounds around you and panning appropriately. Really, really cool use of both mediums there, and really makes it just that much more fun and makes the scene that much more engaging to me. At 1 hour, 25 minutes and 52 seconds, mothership. In this scene, the mothership lets out this sonic blast that you see, it moves the smoke that's on the kind of left side of your screen. You see that move a little bit, and you feel the blast with that. It moves the high tension wires. You see those start to wave differently. And obviously you're still feeling the blast there. Then it shatters the glass in the buildings as it's coming near you, and you can't feel it. You see it coming at you because you see the glass breaking in the buildings, but then as it gets closer to you, you start to feel it even more. And then as it passes through you, that's when you feel it. It's a very visceral scene. Really is another one that has more to do with feel than with the sound itself. It didn't come off as really loud as much as it translated to me through feel. Really likes, I like it when they do that stuff. It's really cool. And again, you need to have a great set of subwoofers or a great subwoofer in your, you know, set up properly to get all of this feel as well as the sound. But from here on out, for the rest of this movie, just hit play. This is where the action takes place, where they're making their way to the ship and everything that's going to go on. It's just an unbelievable scene it's just minute after minute after minute, timestamp after timestamp. I have a few others. I have three more to tell you about, but from here on out, it's just so good. But here's the first one. At 1 hour, 35 minutes and 30 seconds, fire. So Wykus is inside that robot, and he fires some rockets, and I literally, I'm not kidding you, I felt my pant legs move. I mean, you could feel your it, and it's so quick because it's right when he fires the rockets. So it even the sound itself feels like a whoosh, and it's like, but my pant legs moved. So the bass that they put in there, and again, it's not about the audible boom. It's not about that. It's about the pressure. It's so low. It's so good. At 1 hour, 40 minutes and 47 seconds, this is the engines roaring. They're firing up on the mothership. And the first one is at the top right side of the screen. And then the second one is on the left side of the screen. When the first one goes off, we get really deep bass and like a speaker type sound mixed in with it. And then when the second one fires off, the room fills with even more deep bass. So like that first one goes off and your room is filling up like, okay, I'm full with bass here. We're going, and you get that high pitched speaker type sound. You'll know what I mean when you're listening to it. And then when that second one goes off, you're like, oh man, I didn't even think I could get more bass. Here we go. The room fills up, but it's also the second one. It only fills like it more discreetly on the left side of the room because that's where that one is. Just really, really cool setup there where they did that with the two engines on either side of the screen, really set up in the shot, and then the sound designer mixing that the way they did. It's really, really cool. At 1 hour, 42 minutes and 4 seconds inside the mothership, just another scene of deep vibrating bass filling your room. Again, not super loud, but very visceral, great feel. And it just from there, it just transitions quickly to the early footage of Wykus talking, you know, looking into the camera and talking, doing more of the documentary style stuff. And that's where the movie that's where the movie ends. So you go from that great scene of the engines to more of the realistic and documentary style. Great, you know, comparison there in sound and movie storytelling, which I thought was great. What a great movie. Obviously, I love the home theater aspects, which, as I stated so many times throughout this, but the movie itself, I thought was a statement. It's definitely one to own. And like I said, all the way they shot this, don't take anything for granted. Don't just say like, oh, you know, documentary footage. We're shooting a 4K movie. Why are we going to use that? Look at how that can tell the story, how that can show the differences between things. And the same in the movie. The aliens, the way they made you feel for the aliens in this movie, I thought was awesome. Having those children and having, I mean, don't take anything for granted and don't look, you know, give something a chance first. And that's really, to me, that's what this movie was all about. The theater time was only 1 hour, 44 minutes and 49 seconds. That's the movie watching time. Really cool. Really short. Not really short, but the pace of this moves along so well. Like I said, definitely one to own. So happy. So happy I did this one this week. And that'll do it for this week, though. Thank you very much for listening. I'm not sure if anybody guessed that correctly, the scene there with the engine shutting off. But anybody that, I don't know if anybody's even submitted a guess yet, but if you did, thank you very much. I appreciate it. And if not, and you're listening to this, go over on Twitter, follow me there at BrightsideHT. Also go to the YouTube channel. If you're not following me there already, please subscribe to that. That would be great. Really appreciate that. There'll be more stuff to come. I have an idea on what I want to do for my next video. It was going to come out this week, but I'm trying to work out the actual details. I get so excited and go in a direction and then something else refocuses. ADD, go figure. So yeah, or you can email me at brightsidehometheater@gmail.com. Keep those home theaters coming. No rush. I don't need to do one every week, but if I get enough that I'm doing one a week, like I did at the end of last year, that would be great. Check the podcast for those. Check the website for those. And you can go to the website, brightsidehometheater.com, and check out all this great stuff. Really appreciate it. Thank you very much. Have a great week, everybody. I will be back next week with, I'd say, something special, but they're all special to me. So until then, go push play. Hey, Fred. This has been a Hey Fred production with theme music by Jeff Bernhardt and Throne Vault Productions.